Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Prahlad, could you turn this so it could be seen over here? Not too far, so that... Okay. Okay? Better? Canto 7, chapter 14, text 14. Siddhāyāgyāvaśiṣṭhārthāye kalpayad vritam atmanaha sheshe svatvam trajan pragyaha hadavim mahatam iyat siddhair yagyavashishtarthai kalpayad vritim atmanaha sheshe svatvam chajan pragyah hadavim mahatam iyat siddhai things obtained by the grace of the Lord. Yagya avashishta arthai, things obtained after a sacrifice is offered to the Lord, or after the recommended pancha suna yagya is performed. Kalpayet, one should consider. Vrittim, the means of livelihood. Atmanaha, for the self. She, at the end. Svatvam, so-called proprietorship over one's wife, children, home, business, and so on. Tyajan, giving up. Pragyaha, those who are wise. Padavim, the position. Mahatam, of the great personalities who are satisfied in spiritual consciousness. Idyat, should achieve. Translation, an intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad, food offered to the Lord, or with the performance, with performing the five different kinds of yajna called pancha suna, pancha suna. By such activities, one can give up attachment for the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. When one is able to do this, he is firmly fixed in the position of a Mahatma. Purport. Srila Prabhupada. Nature already has an arrangement to feed us. By the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's an arrangement for eatables for every living entity within the 8,400,000 forms of life. Eko bohonam yo vidhati kaman. Every living entity has to eat something. And in fact, the necessities for his life have already been provided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord has provided food for both the elephant and the ant. All living entities are living at the cost of the Supreme Lord, and therefore one who is intelligent should not work very hard for material comforts. Rather, one should save his energy for advancing in Krishna consciousness. All created things in the sky, in the air, on land, and in the sea belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone is being provided with food. Therefore, one should not be very much anxious about economic development and unnecessarily waste time and energy with the risk of falling down in the cycle of birth and death. There's so many reminders in scripture about from so many different angles about the purpose of life is to realize, human life is to realize our true spiritual identity, and a mega obstacle for that is attachment to the false egoistic conception of the body as the self and all the things that extend from the body as mine, I and mine. There's a nice phrase in Vedanta Sutra that says, spiritual practice is to be repeated again and again. Within spiritual practice, there's enormous potency, just like so many references in Nectar of Devotion that are not exaggeration. If one does this, then it's like Rathiatra. Just see Lord Jagannath passing and stand and appreciate. Such a person becomes qualified to become a four-armed resident of Vaikuntha. So Rathiatra passes and someone's munching on a this and a drinking of that and with his smoking that and with his boyfriend, girlfriend, and they stand and, oh, isn't this nice? And four-armed resident of Vaikuntha. Then they munch again and drink again and smoke again and do again. So it very quickly covered, instantly covered. But the potency is there in those activities to deliver one to the position of a resident of Vaikuntha. Not a whole lot of receptivity, but potency. And the spiritual potency can be blocked by, like the example commonly given in scripture is, clouds block the heat and the light of the sun. So the sun doesn't become diminished, but our experience of the heat and the light of the sun becomes diminished by clouds. So there's using Bhaktivinoda Thakur's metaphor, the mist of ignorance and the clouds of offense block spiritual potency. And for that reason, scripture says spiritual practice is to be done again and again. So it's on the one hand, there's potency that's superlative. On the other hand, there's a blocking power of ignorance and offense. For that reason, spiritual practice needs to be done again and again. It's directly stated in Vedanta Sutra. So we hear these messages again and again, and again and again, and in the Chandogya Upanishad, Shvetaketu says it 9 times, Tattvamasi, 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 Tattvamasi. Okay, I get it, Tattvamasi. But why do you have to say it 9 times? And even 9 times isn't enough. And how many times does Prabhupada say, you're not the body, and the message here? It's needed again and again because the coverings are very thick and our attachment to those coverings is very strong. We're holding on very tightly to our source of misery. It's sad. It's stupid. It's something we all do. The conditioned soul has such tendency, and therefore again and again. So sometimes some devotees say, you know, why that again and again? I've heard that. Let's go on to something else. But the again and again is needed because the block is there and our affinity for asat is there. And therefore, the Vedas give instruction again and again in different approaches. Just last night, I met one young man, been coming to the temple a few times. And his one question was, why so many religions? And my answer was, modes of nature. There's just one thing. There's one Supreme Lord and loving devotional service unto Him. But modes of nature and affinity for becoming enjoyers of the products of material nature by engaging in fruitive activity is very, very strong. And so it's very colorful. Just like the three primary colors mixed make so many colors. The variety of religion is there because of the mix of the modes of nature and the affinity of living entity to be enjoyer of mine based upon the misconception of me, forgetfulness of the soul. So this chapter is ideal family life, and I just want to focus on a few words from the verse first. Siddhayar yagyavishishtartai. Now in the purport in the word for word, and then in the purport, this pancha suna yagya is mentioned. It's not in the Sanskrit of the verse. The Sanskrit of the verse mentions yagya avashishta artai. What does arta mean? Arta means, commonly it means economic development. Arta literally means something that's wanted. And anarta is something unwanted. Arta is something wanted. So what do people want? They want economic development. Why do they want economic development? For sense gratification. That's why they want economic development. And so why do they take up yagya? Why do they take up dharma? To get arta. So they can get kama. Boom, boom, boom. Then there's the unregulated people that don't do dharma, but they also want economic development and sense gratification. They just miss the dharma part. But those that are intelligent recognize I'm dependent upon something. Let's just take food. We're dependent upon rain. Well, man produces grain and edibles and vegetables, which then the animals eat, and I can eat the animal, but I can't do that without the thing that's produced on the land. But I need rain. And if there isn't rain, this is Vedic. If there isn't rain, no production. So how do you get rain? Perform sacrifice. So you get rain. So you get production from the land, so you get edibles, so you can survive. Dharma. It's pragmatic for people that want to enjoy their senses. Then those that follow that principle of dharma, there's grihasthas in particular. In the world, there's quite a few grihasthas. Very few brahmacharis and sannyasis and vanaprastha, that's practically an extinct species. So, grihastha is abundant. Now, a dharmic grihastha must perform these pancha suna yajna. I'm going to make a few references. What's that? Pancha suna yajna. It's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 12. Chapter 3 is dealing, this little section, text 12 is dealing with yajna. Krishna goes through the discussion with Arjuna about bondage to work. So as soon as you do some work, there's bondage to your work. But if you perform sacrifice, you can become free from bondage to your work. So yajna appears, and that text 10 is, you know, yajna means sacrifice to Vishnu, and by performing the sacrifice to Vishnu, all desirable things will come. And then the next verse says that the devas, they benefit, the living entity benefits, so it's a perfect system. Krishna's, Vishnu's system. Vishnu is the bhokta, but then there's devas, then they're offered things in the sacrifice process. The living entities receive rainfall and other necessities of life. So it's like, you know, it's a good system, a dharma system, where there's synergy and harmony. You neglect dharma and it's chaos. But if you abide by dharma, there's harmony. And then comes this text 12, which says, in charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods being satisfied by the performance of yajna, sacrifice, will supply all necessities to you. So it's a business deal. You do the yajna, you get necessities. And in the purport, Prabhupada mentions this. He doesn't call it pancha suna yajna, he calls it pancha maha yajna, where he says, ultimately all yajnas are meant for gradual promotion to the transcendental position, which is what the Bhagavatam verse is also saying. There's this interest in my necessities, whatever that is, not just something to eat, but I want good health, or I want a good husband or wife, or I want something. So there's sacrifices for that purpose. Ultimately, the purpose is transcendental attainment. That's here. For ordinary men, at least five yajnas, known as panchamaha yajna, are necessary. Doesn't give any detail. It's mentioned, the detail is mentioned in Tattvasandarbha, and I'll just, pardon me while I do a little Tattvasandarbha sidebar, we'll come back. But specifically, this Panchamaha Yajna is mentioned in Tattvasandarbha by Jiva Goswami, in the section where he's demonstrating for his reader that the Vedas acknowledge, the four Vedas acknowledge the Vedic nature of the Itihasa and Purana. Meaning the Itihasa and Purana are as Vedic as the four Vedas. In fact, they're the fifth Veda. But they're equally Vedic. They're not less Vedic. They're not, you know, lesser, and we're up here and those others are down here. That kind of thing that scholars today and, you know, people during the time of Jiva Goswami were also propounding. So for the purpose of demonstrating, out of 18 different ways of demonstrating the Itihasas and Puranas, meaning, you know, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and all the Puranas are as Vedic as the four, there's reference to this Panchamaha Yajna. And the Panchamaha Yajna, here's the reference from Jiva Goswami, it's 14.2, if you want to look it up later. We see that in the recitation of Brahma Yajna, which is one of the five, The itihas and puranas are employed as thus enjoined. This is from the Taittiriya Upanishad. So one of the four Vedas are speaking about the itihas and purana, saying, the brahmanas, itihasas, and puranas serve as texts, serve as the texts prescribing the details of rituals. What that means is, these five kinds of things, well, read what Gopi Puranadana has written in the purport, but these five Pancha Mahayagya things that every householder, not just brahmanas, every householder, whatever their varna, every householder must, it's obligatory, Vedic, you know, the four Vedas say, you must, if you're married, you must do these every day, every single day. Here's Gopi's commentary. Text 14.2 mentions the sacrifice called Brahma Yajna. This is one of the five great sacrifices, or Pancha Mahayajna, enjoined for every Vedic householder as daily atonement for the unavoidable violence he commits in the, quote, places of slaughter. That's his home. The broom, here's the five. You know, when you sweep, living entities are killed, or potentially, possibly, some little bug or something. The broom, the water pot, the spice mortar, the kitchen stove, and the stone on which rice is ground. What are these five sacrifices? Here they are. So that's the five destruction tools. Here's the five yajnas to counter that violence. A householder must honor the demigods by deva yajna, daily fire sacrifice. Two, the revered forefathers by pitra yajna, offering of pinda. Three, human beings by atiti yajna, hospitality to guests. Four, all living beings by Bhuta Yajna, the symbolic offering of a portion of food from one's own plate at every meal. And five, finally, the Vedic sages by Brahma Yajna, recitation from various scriptures at the time of chanting Gayatri Mantra. So various scriptures specifically are before you chant or in the process of chanting Gayatri daily, three times daily, sections of the itihasas and puranas are to be chanted and recited according to Vedic Shruti, Taittiriya Upanishad. Then it ends. Prabhupada makes reference to this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22. Translation, by offering oblations with ghee, one satisfies the demigods. By studying the Vedas, one performs Vedic Brahma Yajna, which satisfies the great sages. Offering libations of water before one's forefathers is called Pitra Yajna. By offering tribute, one performs Bhuta Yajna. By properly receiving guests, one performs Mri Yajna. There's the five. So it's informational, but there's a transcendental purpose that's being conveyed in this verse. These are duties every grihastha must, and you don't perform, and you're in violation of dharma. You're no longer protected by dharma. So you must. You must perform these things. And by performing dharma, the verse is saying, that things will be supplied. Same as what Krishna is saying in chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita. Things will be supplied. Your Vedic householder, do your dharma and things will be supplied. But then the message is, don't be attached to those things supplied. which is also the message of chapter 3, Bhagavad Gita. Perform your prescribed duty without attachment. Yeah. Karma neva nikaraste ma paleshu kadachana. Ma means not. Not paleshu. Don't be attached to the pala, the fruit. Perform your duty without attachment. That's what, same as, so it's more expanded here in the Bhagavatam, where the instruction is to householders, perform these things. That's the first line of this morning's verse. Siddhaya, yajna avashishta artai, things obtained after a sacrifice is offered. Siddhaya, yajneshwarar artai, kalpayad vitim atmanaha. Kalpayad, one should consider. Vritim, means of livelihood. Atmanaha, for the self. Sheshe, swatvam, tyajan. You get all those things and don't be attached to be the enjoyer of those things. Don't be that kind of householder where you do dharma for the purpose of gaining things. Sakarma, excuse me, sakama, karma yoga, or sakama, karmakanda, performing things. This is just even the rituals of karmakanda, just to be a Vedic householder. You do rituals, karmakanda. The advocacy of the Bhagavatam is, and Bhagavad Gita, don't do that for the purpose of getting something. Necessities will come. Be dharmic. Be attached to being dharmic. Not be attached to being the enjoyer of the things that come. Sheshi svatvam, svatvam, tyajan pragyaha. Pragyaha, those who are wise. And we know from Bhagavad Gita this word pragya is used repeatedly in different places. In the second chapter, it's stitta pragya. Stitta pragya, being situated, being fixed in transcendence. One reference, there's several. One reference, chapter 2, text 55. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, this is, you know, chapter 2 instruction. O Partha, when a man gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification, which arise from mental concoction, and when the mind, thus purified, finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be sitta-pragya. So, senses and mind not wavering. You need intelligence to steady the mind and the senses. It's rare. That's only possible. I had this discussion with my Ayurvedic doctor some years ago, and he was launching into this thing. His Ayurvedic guru had honored him with all these, he showed me the piles and masses of very, very ancient Ayurvedic texts in different categories. Of, like, including not just body, but mind. Like, you know, mental health. From Ayurveda. Whew. And he was going into this thing about stitta pragya, and I, like, put on the brakes. Said, wait a minute. There's no stitta pragya without Krishna consciousness. Without being fixed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It isn't gonna happen. He was surprised that I was being so firm. I said, okay, you know. But, because those that are not fixed in Krishna consciousness think they can get there some other way. You know, through the back door, down the chimney, or to the basement, or some way, somehow or other, I don't have to surrender to Krishna and fix my mind on Krishna. I'll get there some other way. Well, it ain't gonna happen. One will be continually wavering. And so similarly, the followers of Karmakanda, they're not gonna get there. without contact with bhakti. And so the message of bhakti is there even in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and third chapter and throughout. Very kindly, Prabhupada gives the bhakti message even in the earliest chapters. He's making the connection with the conclusion, even it's a step that's not at the conclusion yet. Because there's some people, again, this question last night of why different religions. It's modes of nature. Some people are really covered. And they don't want to surrender to Krishna. That's the one essence. So there's things that can help one get there. And those things aren't the essence. They're to help one get there. Which is exactly what is being said in this purport. The purpose of all of this is fixed and transcendental consciousness. And that's the sthita prajna. Or another phrase that repeats several times in Bhagavad Gita is prajna pratishtha. Pratishtha means being situated in, or the basis and foundation is pratishtha, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Brahmano hi pratishtha aham. Krishna is the pratishtha, the foundation of Brahman. Like the sun is the pratishtha of sunshine. You don't have sunshine without the pratishtha of sunshine, the sun. And wherever there is the sun, there's its pratishtha, or excuse me, its byproduct. Like the soul is there, and with the soul is conscious and consciousness. What does that mean? Jiva Goswami explains that not only, just like a flame, a fire, or a candle, it's luminous. But it also lights up other things. Both. Conscious and consciousness. The soul is conscious and it gives appearance that the body is conscious. The body isn't conscious. The body is dead matter. But consciousness spreads through the body because of the presence of the soul, and there's a mechanism for it. He says it's prana. So it spreads through the body and it's subtle. When the soul leaves, consciousness is gone. So the mechanistic scientists, they say something else. No. There's no such thing as consciousness. At least there's a group of them that say like that. All there is matter. And the laws governing matter, and what you silly folks call consciousness, is just matter and laws governing matter. That's all. There isn't anything else. And we're a scientist. And we know, because, like, you know, that's our entitlement. Well, excuse me, but the Vedas say quite differently. The soul is conscious and consciousness. And the purpose of, now back to the text, the purpose of these things that householders, because that's the chapter, ideal household life, you're supposed to do these things. Pancha Mahayagya. Every householder, every Vedic householder. You require a brahmana to assist you. If that's your brahmana, then you can do it yourself. Every householder. And what's the purpose? We'll get desirable things, just as Krishna says in chapter 3. But what's the purpose of that? Not to be the enjoyer of those things. Well, if that's not it, then what's the purpose? To gradually become detached, to not, as the purport here is saying, not excessively use your energy for economic development. When necessities are readily, the arrangement is already there. Just take the arrangement that's already there. Doesn't mean you don't work. Lounge around in a hammock and sipping lemonade and it just, necessities are going to come. No, not become lazy and complacent, but perform duties and not invest consciousness in expanding economic development. Be dharmic. Do your prescribed duty. Relying upon the devas and ultimately Vishnu to supply necessities and fix your consciousness in that way in the necessities department so that your spare time and energy can be utilized in transcendental life progressively during household life. Fixed upon attaining transcendence even in the complexities of household life. Well, As a young brahmachari, I remember Srila Prabhupada saying this on more than one occasion, that these are not possible for us. The way that he said it specifically on two occasions was, if we didn't have the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and this process of Sankirtan Yajna, then the way that Prabhupada said it was, a householder, they're getting out of bed, they wouldn't even be able to do anything because their whole day would be filled up with doing all these duties that householders have to do. And the day's over. You wouldn't have anything done. That's the way he described it. So many duties that a Vedic householder must do. So ours is, he called it the blacksmith method. Then he explained, blacksmith. There's a goldsmith and the blacksmith. And the goldsmith has a piece of gold, and he has a little hammer, and he goes tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. And the blacksmith takes the metal, puts it into the fire, puts it on the anvil, takes the big hammer, and one stroke, thud, everything is finished. That's how he described it. Ours is the blacksmith method. Just this one thing. What's the one thing? Take shelter of Krishna, directly. Take shelter of Krishna. And whatever your shortcomings are and distractions are and tendencies are, and just continue, cultivate that one thing. Practice it, Maha Mantra, again and again. Within every name of Krishna, all of Krishna's potencies are there. We have to chant again and again because we have all these mists of ignorance and clouds of anartas covering us. So we chant again and again. And again and again. And that one is the blacksmith method that takes care of the so many. The purpose of the so many is those that don't want to surrender to Krishna. They want their necessities. They want, you know, starts with sakama. They want to be the enjoyer of those necessities. And then gradually through purification, nishkam. They do it because it's dharmic. They do it because it's to be done. And then they can focus their consciousness more on transcendence. And then, by good fortune, they may come in contact with a Hare Krishna devotee or someone that's carrying Prabhupada's books, and they can understand, oh, I just need devotional service. Doesn't mean they stop being ideal householders, but they don't need to do all those yajnas. They need to do Harinam Sankirtan. Yajna. And then propagate it. Engage other householders for the means that these other yajnas are performed, you know, to provide the rain and whatever else one needs. Whatever else one requires. And then Krishna's commitment is, whatever you require, I'll supply. Whatever you have, I'll maintain. Just do this one thing. So that requires faith to do one thing. And by this, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's definition of what faith is. Shraddha shabde vishvas kahe sudridha nishchaya. Krishna bhakti. Just do this one thing and all other desirable things will come. The materialist is get money. Whoever gets money, get money. Because money will get you the desirable things. It's not true. But that's their faith. So ours is, and there's so many other persons to have, they make so many sacrifices in so many other ways to achieve something. Get their good education. Or become a competitor in some athletic realm, become an Olympic athlete. They sacrifice everything. Their social life, their whole life is focused on one thing. Get the gold medal. So many sacrifices. So ours is to make the sacrifice of doing this one thing. At least, you know, come to that stage of, as householders, not just brahmacharis, as householders, or whatever the suitable ashram is. Yatarham upayunjitaha, according to suitability. Anasaktasya Vishayan, without attachment to sense gratification. Exactly what Rupa Goswami is teaching. It's here in the Bhagavatam, in this verse. Do that which is prescribed for you. Without attachment. So that's, we'll finish. Sheshe svatvam tajan pragya padavim mahatam iyat. Having attained that position, mahatam, one becomes a mahatma. Iyat. That's the teaching, how to become a mahatma. Well, this Bhagavad Gita makes it really short and simple. Mahatmanasamam parta, daivim prakritam ashrita. Daivim prakritam. There's those that, you know, so for those that aren't ready for the daivim prakritam program, they have this other program. And if they don't want this other program, then, you know, they're just struggling very hard with the material energy, trying for economic development and building an empire. Kapila Dev describes the same thing, just mentioned this in a lint. The chapter 30 of Canto 3 is adverse fruit of activities. And persons that there's eternal time that's experienced within the realm of bhakti, and then there's the past, present, and future kind thing that brings things into being and destroys things. The other kind for those that are not in the internal potency. And although they have so much experience that whatever is gained is lost, they still go for it. They're deluded by Maya, the happiness of chasing after mirage in a desert. The happiness never happens, but they're stubborn obstinacy. Sometimes Prabhupada would say, dog stubborn. So the message of the Vedas is filled with, you know, please don't do that. Let go of that thirst for the temporary. Trying to be the enjoyer of a mirage, of simply illusion. Empires, Prabhupada would say this again and again. Empires, in that section he says, empires come and go. Some person with great endeavor builds an empire and passes it on to his, you know, lineage and on and on and on. And where's that empire that still exists? They're all gone. And yet another one comes and tries to build his empire. And we can look around the world even today. This person is trying to build their empire and expand without going into the detail. It's just foolishness. The wise, pragya, are detached from that. They, necessities, anyway, so the message of the Bhagavatam is for thoughtful people. If we want real solutions to real problems, spiritual solutions to real problems, the Bhagavatam is an excellent roadmap, resource to help us get to that conclusion. Any discussion? Subal.
Guru Maharaj, I'm going to try to set, you know, I mean, we're reading this chapter and see if I understood. Narada Muni is explaining here, you know, instructions for an ideal grihastha. Mm. And basically, through the process to following these instructions, one become a mahatma. being, you know, a grihastha, still you reach the position of a mahatma. But there's all these very different types of regulations that one has to follow, and do's that we have to do, and do it without attachment, and so on. And then you explain also that there's the blacksmith method, yeah. That is, you know, we take the Sankirtan Jagya, we do that one thing, and one can become a Mahatma also. So I'm thinking that there's so many compromises that this modern life brings to religiosity, to be a religious grihastha in these modern times. I specifically thinking of things like dairy.
Things like?
The dairy industry. You know, dairy industry.
Dairy industry?
Yeah, that you have, we have, you know, we take in dairy because that's part of the main foodstuff that we offer to Krishna.
Here we go.
Yeah, I'm thinking like that as a compromise, but we do. Or save something else, you know, dealing with pests, like dealing with creatures, you know, that are not wanted in the home. Narada Muni says, you know, that we have to treat mice like our own children. And, you know, we have to, there's certain things that we have to do, we're forced to do in this modern life that are compromising, more or less. So, where is the balance of being, you know, doing this Sankirtan Jagya and okay. Being conscious of the things?
Yadyaracharachi sheshtas tatat ebe tarorjana. Or Mahajana Yena Katasa Panta. That's what we do. Our founder Acharya knew all these things. He writes about these things. He wasn't unaware of these things. He was guiding a society to come to the proper sage, householders and sannyasis and brahmacharis alike. He gave a formula. And we just follow the formula. It may take some time and some bhakti and some prayasa, some endeavor, to manifest what he wanted, and that's what we do. With all these things. You know, because you mentioned two, I'll mention two. Prabhupada was well aware of the dairy industry. He gave us a formula. We offer to the deity and we take milk. And as a center becomes strong, then some kind of a method of cow protection and receiving the milk, both by setting an example, but also for our own upholding of standards, living by our values, have cow protection. So, that should be a goal for us. Now, somebody else amongst our assembly may say, well, before we get there, I want to, you know, do something differently. I'm perfectly contented just becoming a follower of our founder, Acharya. But if somebody else wants to do something differently, no problem. As a for example, during the Labor Day weekend, there will be a retreat in Gita Nagari on the topic of Varnashram, exploring Varnashram, that's the heading. And four of the presenters, what they want to talk about is going from where we are to where we want to be in practical steps. Tukaram is going to be one of the presenters, and anybody that knows Tukaram knows this is like, you know, it's one of his banners that he waves all the time. And so he's going to get, you know, stage time to say to all the people, here's how you do it. Here's why you should do it, and here's how to do it. And then others and others that have a different perspective and different voice. But so to help prepare us, not only we should do it, but practical steps to do it, per the instruction of our founder Acharya. Setting an ideal example and doing as he wanted us to do, his followers. We're not there yet, but you know, to help get us there, there's some, you know, education and training and some little lubrication to get us there. You know, in due course of time, in a proper, intelligent way. Now, with regard to mice or little creatures, treat them like family members. Prabhupada, three things. Mice, roaches, and deer eating vegetables. Let's get to the deer eating vegetables one first. Varsana Maharaj shared this with me, that in New Vrindavan, whatever crops they would plant, the deer would eat them. So what to do? Prabhupada said, build a tall fence. He said, but they jump over the fence. Then build a 12-foot tall fence, but don't harm the deer. Give them something else edible, but don't harm them. And with mice, Prabhupada told his father his occupation was he was a cloth merchant. So in his godown, the place where he kept cloth, he had a little place where he fed the mice so they would eat the place from the plate rather than eating cloth. And cockroaches. This is in the 55th Street Temple. It was it was an old building, and there were cockroaches. And can we exterminate? Prabhupada said, make it clean. You make it clean, the mice won't come, the cockroaches won't come around. They come around because there's something unclean. That's what they like. Unclean. So make it clean. They'll go away. Uninvited guest. So they did that. And then a year passed and it was like super clean. Prabhupada, they're still around. They said, then you can exterminate. But you know, not right away exterminate. So, anecdotal things often have another anecdotal thing that's different than that one, and another one that's different than that one, another one that's different than that one, and one scratching one's head saying, which one should I follow? But if one is sincere and serious about pursuing the answer to the question you asked, then make a sufficiently broad survey of what our founder Acharya instructed and follow that. Because he adjusted, he knew the principles, and he adjusted it according to our modern lives. He gave us the, you know, direction, at least. Maybe not the detail, but at least the direction. Jitendra, do you have something?
Would it be safe to say that our program would be the exact opposite of Donald Trump's program?
The exact opposite of?
Donald Trump's program.
Whose program?
Donald Trump.
Oh, Donald Trump.
Kind of the epitome of...
You know, I don't want to comment on that. What an embarrassment that fellow is. Shameful.
Kind of the epitome of the Lord of all I survey.
Well, yeah, on every account. What a, he's a bully, and he's, you know, braggart, and, you know, what's his quality? And et cetera.
Thank you.
There may be a lot more people that show up at the polls to vote, just to vote against him, because he's running for a candidate.
Chicago, when he was here,
they had to shut it down.
Yeah.
Just a few days ago.
Yeah.
It got too rowdy.
Yeah. It's scary if he, wow. Okay, anything else? Okay, we're done. Thank you very much. Huh? Krishnarshan, you have something? Okay.
Um, Sharon Paswami, you were mentioning your conversation with the Ayurvedic doctor and insisting that...
Stetha Pragya.
Yes. So, you know, sometimes one gets exposed to persons coming... to the temple environment that may have, you know, mental difficulties, and the attempt to direct the person to, you know, rather take shelter of Krishna than focusing on the mental difficulties or, you know, whatever the solutions are, is often met with very much that mentality of doing something for the purpose of getting the attachment satisfied.
Yeah, sure, sure.
It seems often like a very difficult obstacle to encourage the person to change the focus.
Change the culture?
Focus.
Focus.
Mm-hmm.
Focus. Okay.
Because there's the attachment, the need to fulfill that, but at the same time, some idea that maybe here that same attachment will be fulfilled, but there's mental difficulties. So often it's like difficult to redirect a person.
Yeah. Are you making a comment?
So in some sense, I perhaps am wanting to know I don't know if it's possible to generalize, but some sort of way that one oneself can encourage somebody in that kind, with that kind of focus and that kind of difficulty.
According to suitability. You know, the audience, whether it's a group or a person, the audience needs to be understood and encouraged according to their faith. That's something that a teacher, and you're a teacher, and or, you know, in some ways we're all some kind of teachers. It's a responsibility of the teacher to know the audience, and according to the audience, you encourage. It's right in Hari Bhakti Vilas. There are different standards for different things that, without detail, Sanatana Goswami says, the appropriate recommendation for a person is according to their faith. So you need to know what their faith is, or conversely their attachments are, and encourage them to come support and encourage to take another step according to their position. So it's scalable, or it's customized according to the person. That the teacher should know the goal, and then should also know the audience, and then encourage the audience to take a step according to their capacity to take a step. And then sustain that step, not just a step and then step back, but because that's discouraging. Just a step that they can sustain. Does that address your question? Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki.